The biggest issues. The biggest stories. The biggest forum for talking about what matters. Now broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue. It's Monday with Steve and Carol.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Monday show. Welcome, radio legend Carol Kane.
Hi. How are you?
I am good on this Monday. Full of energy, full of excitement. We're going to get right to it today because this is something that I think a lot of Americans are going to have to deal with this week and in the future.
All right.
The leading candidate for the nomination for Republicans for president is Donald Trump.
Yes.
And unless you're in a cave or on vacation and not paying attention to news, which I guess is some people, he is facing serious charges related to his handling of classified documents.
Right.
At his estate in Mar-a-Lago.
Yes.
A multitude of charges. We'll learn a lot more tomorrow. Miami courthouse, as they are laid out. It sounds like he will be mugshot and fingerprinted. I've seen some contrasting opinions on whether that will happen. It didn't happen in the Manhattan jurisdiction when he went through his civil trial or civil charges. But I'm going to tell a quick story, and then I want to get everybody's take on this. And yours too, Carol.
Okay.
So all of us who have been around for the last 8-plus years have lived through a lot of political drama, a lot of excitement.
Yes.
A lot of political norms that we never would have expected to be challenged. I would argue a lot of actual real-life decisions about who you hang out with or who you talk with or who you associate with when it comes to people of different political beliefs. And in the case of President Donald Trump, support of a president who one side loves him, the other side demonizes him. I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah.
I've been very open about the fact that while I respect the office of president, and he had every right to serve as president because he was elected, duly elected.
Sure.
I wasn't a fan of his style. I'm certainly not a fan of his actions related to his post-presidency.
Right.
And it sounds like, if I listen to all the people that actually were in the room or in the White House or in Mar-a-Lago, it sounds like even his closest allies are willing to testify that he did not handle these documents appropriately.
Okay. Yes.
It's a serious charge. It's not, you know, there's a lot of whataboutism happening, right? There's a lot of, what about Hillary Clinton? I always want to remind people, Hillary Clinton lost the election. She didn't win the presidency.
Right.
She paid the ultimate punishment. I don't like Hillary Clinton as a candidate, and I thought that was a dumb decision by Democrats, but whatever. You know, take that out.
Yeah.
She lost the election. Donald Trump won
in
2016. He lost in 2020.
Right.
That's the reality.
Uh-huh.
So a friend of mine, we're going back and forth on Twitter, good friend, and I noticed that the tone of the exchange was becoming more and more heated.
Okay.
To the point where I'm like, dude, I'm done. I'm not doing this. I have my beliefs. You have yours. That's all I need. I'm not going to be persuaded, nor will I try to persuade you. I said over and over again on the show, if you're a Donald Trump supporter, go be a Donald Trump supporter.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Right.
But this is serious charges. These are serious charges. And when his former attorney general says he's toast, I'm going to agree with him. That was his attorney general, not Biden's attorney general, his.
Right, right.
What do you think?
Listen, you know, if he did the crime, then he's got to do it. He's got to pay the price. That's all there is to it. Here's where I get frustrated. It's just like, it's the Democrats are tripping over themselves, slapping themselves on the back. You know, I mean, and this kind of stuff, I'm not saying he shouldn't, you know, pay the price. If he did it, he did it. Let's just move on. Let's get it done. Get him indicted. I just don't want to see the protests get violent again. I don't want this to happen. And he seems to be throwing kerosene on that fire.
As is Carrie Lake, the candidates in Arizona who won't let it go and made a veiled threat about violence related to this story?
No, let's just let it play out. I think cooler heads have got to prevail, but that's where he falls down a lot. That's where he trips over himself because he cannot allow just the process. He's got to stand there, like I say, a petulant five-year-old on the playground, and just stand there and stomp his feet and shake his fist. And, you know, it's just like, come on, dude. If you did it, you did it. You know, I get so sick and tired. And the finger pointing gets to me quite a bit, too. Because if you think that this hasn't been going on for a long time through, you know, administration after administration after administration, you're kidding yourself, too.
Do you think this equates with what a, just pick a president, well, Barack Obama did in office with records, or Joe Biden currently, or, you know, Clinton way back? Is it the same thing?
Well, I have no evidence of anything. But do I think that there were oddities in each administration? Probably, you know, and this goes way back. Look at, you know, into the Kennedy administration. Come on. Really? You know, I mean, if you really put the microscope on each president, you're going to find something. So in that regard, I do kind of agree with him when he says it's a political witch hunt. I kind of get it. But once again, Trump, did you do this? If you did it, be a man. This is where I get.
That's a great point.
Be a man and stand up and own it. I'm a bigger man than he is. You know what I mean? And the fact ding, that ding, if ding.
You remember the scene in A Few Good Men?
Yeah.
When Jessup's under fire, Colonel Jessup's under fire from Tom Cruise's character.
Yeah, you can't handle the truth.
Yeah. And it's more than that. I played a longer cut on Friday about the kind of person that makes decisions at a high level. There's a little bit of Colonel Jessup in Donald Trump.
Oh, of course.
There's that fight. Now, let's be honest. That's what a lot of people love about Donald Trump. I'm not arguing he's not popular. He's immensely popular.
Yeah.
And there's some polling that suggests this may make him more popular. Although there's also polling that suggests here's the fallacy of the Trump as the next president. You could win all the Republicans you want. When it comes to independence and power of the Democrats, their base, you're not winning that election. So are we going to go through this for all of the nonsense that we're seeing currently? My question is simple. We saw the erosion of friendships, relationships among coworkers, family, neighbors, whatever.
Sure.
On the first go around.
Right.
Will it get worse this time?
Yeah, I think so.
I agree. I think it will too. What do you say? 855-616-1620. The Trump effect times 10 after this.
Any statement. I'm being charged with a crime.
Trial by court martial.
Is that what this is?
Or administrative.
I'm being charged with a crime.
Right to consult with a lawyer prior to any further questioning.
This is funny.
This lawyer may be a civilian lawyer.
That's what this is.
By you at-
Everybody in old Sail Clock was dancing to the tail out rock. Spider Murphy played his inner saxophone. Little Joe and Blue.
Could that be in his future? I doubt it, because I can never envision a scenario where former president is sitting in a jail, so I just can't.
No.
Now, let's let it. If it, obviously, we don't know because we haven't seen all the information laid out in a formal presentation. Some of that will happen on Tuesday.
Right.
And there's other cases pending: Georgia election interference, January 6th, incitement of a riot, all that stuff.
Right.
But I do not believe in the country that we live in we would ever have a situation where a president would be sitting in jail. So now house arrest is a different story. That could happen.
Yeah, that could happen. I just. In all honesty, and I'm not accusing anybody else of wrongdoing by any stretch of the imagination, but I just think that there's an awful lot that happens in that office that we are not privy to. There's an awful lot of stuff going on and a lot of covering up and a lot of this and a lot of that, no matter who it is. Across the board, I think that there's a lot of stuff that happens in Washington that we don't know about.
I started talking this hour about the relationship piece of this. And I think we're going to be challenged as friends, neighbors, family, whatever it is, to have these conversations. My early take is they're not going to be very positive conversations because there's stuff like this from the 414. What Trump did was wrong, but all the indictments against him also applied to Hillary Clinton and she got a pass. Most legal experts that have looked at the differences suggest it's not the same thing. One, Trump, the volume was more significant. Now, did Hillary Clinton break the law? I believe that. I'll always believe that.
Right.
She destroyed a server, apparently with a hammer.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, though. Donald Trump won the presidency. his Department of Justice,
right,
Congress, which he controlled,
right,
they could have looked into all that. They looked into some of it. She was not charged or convicted. So that there was an opportunity there. In this case, the president was asked to produce these documents. He admitted to moving them.
Mm-hmm.
He admitted on tape to showing them to people. Matter of fact, there's audio going around right now that he was talking about the documents.
Right, right.
And the question arises, this is a much bigger question, what was his intention to do with this information or these documents? That's a very big question, one that borders on some of the seriousness of the charges. A quick sampling of the text line, then we'll get to the phone lines, 855-616-1620. From the 414, he still has to go to trial and may win. Just because he was charged doesn't mean he's guilty. No, it doesn't. That's why you should hold your judgment.
Right. We got to let it play out. We got to get all the information on the table.
But what that doesn't mean, and this is a hard one for people, is that we ignore the charges until that happens or doesn't happen.
No, I'm not saying you should ignore it at all. Not at all. I mean, let's just get to the meat of the subject and figure out exactly what happened.
And that may start as soon as tomorrow in a courthouse in Miami. Mike joins us. Hey, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We are good. What do you think?
Yeah, it's going to be ugly. I don't think it's going to increase any more of his supporters or his detractors. I just think they're both going to dig in their current positions. But I think this might be the most ugly of all the quote-unquote trials that he's been on.
Let's take it another step, and I hope this doesn't happen. We saw the violence, the attack on police officers in the nation's capital, at the Capitol building.
Mm-hmm.
Do you anticipate, Mike, you're a smart guy, you follow politics, do you anticipate this could lead to more of that?
I do not, only because the Capitol police were not prepared for that. Information was withheld from them as far as what was coming, what was probably going to happen. I think they'll be wherever, you know, this trial takes the area. Police will be ready, maybe even National Guard. I mean, there will not be a repeat of January 6th.
And thanks for the call, Mike. Here's why I'll take what Mike says with a grain of salt. We saw what happened in the 1960s with protests.
Mm-hmm.
When you're met with a very serious response from law enforcement, National Guard, etc., that incites something in the protesters. It ramps up, it ratchets up the level of
right.
violence, potentially. I'm not confident that if we see that hard-hitting response push back against protesters, let's say, for example, in Milwaukee, you know, we're all happy as heck to be hosting the 2024 RNC.
Sure.
If it's a massive protest by supporters of Donald Trump, either the nomination is challenged, he didn't get the nomination, doesn't appear he's going to get the nomination. Anybody think that's going to be peaceful? I don't.
No. And you can prepare as much as you think you need to, but there's, you know, there's that part of it that you can't prepare for. I don't care how, you know, it's just like anything. You say, oh, I'm ready. Really? I don't know if necessarily are ready to combat a mob. Really, I just don't. And if they get, you know, if they get agitated enough, they can cause some serious damage. Now, I know that they're down in Miami, they've got the barricades up, and they're preparing for the protest. I just don't think that mob mentality is something you can fight against sometime, because it gets to like what you were saying, the agitation and the violence, just it just you feed off of that.
And I don't care how well a city prepares for something.
No,
the unexpected, the chaos theory suggests that anything could happen. And, you know, what could be an incredible win for the city could also be an incredible stain or a legacy that was where violence erupted as a result of a convention. From the 414, this gets right to the friendship thing and relationships. At what point do you look at your friend and realize they have chosen no longer to live in reality? Relationships change, and sometimes it's simply not worth the effort. Because I don't give up on relationship that easy.
No, I don't either.
I don't want to.
I
just refuse to engage on that issue because I have not been able to find common ground.
See, that's where I stand. I'll stop. I mean, now obviously this is a different source of discourse that you and I are having. But in my personal life, if somebody starts bringing it up, I stop right away and go, we're not going there. Just, you know, you have your opinion, I have my opinion. Why, let's just have our friendship prevail instead of having this wedge between us. I don't want it.
That's a great point. We go out to dinner with a couple that really enjoy their company, and they think differently politically, certainly from my wife, and to some degree from me. And I would put them in the solid Trump camp. Now, I haven't talked to them recently about this because we kind of disassociate, but I would have no intention of ever dissolving that friendship because they're great people. I can separate that. Mm-hmm. I don't want let's be honest, when we have friends, whether they're dinner companions or friends you golf with or whatever it is.
Whatever it is, yeah.
You're not with them all the time. So I wouldn't want the time that I am with them to be dominated by Donald Trump and his whatever.
Yeah, no. That's just wasted air as far as I'm concerned. Can't we just get to the baseline? We've known each other for 40 years. We've been friends for a long time. Why are we letting this come between our friendship? Why?
And the reason I'm fascinated by this is because many people have let that happen. They have destroyed family. I have a friend of mine I know very well. Politics destroyed their family relationship. Which is sad and unfortunate.
It really is. I mean, we've had situations in my family and my immediate family where we just are diametrically opposed. Period. Diametrically opposed. So just can't we understand, like, you think your way, I think my way. Let's go and have a pizza and a beer. Just relax. Pump the brakes.
One text before we go to break here. Why is the Law and Order Party fighting against this Law and Order process? I guess not all the GOP, but let's say that MAGA contingent. It is that. There are plenty of people I know who are strong Republicans, strong conservatives. Many who I've quoted on the air. James Wagerson, writer. Ron Bishop, mayor in Waupun. Strong critic of this kind of stuff, but a strong Republican supporter and a conservative. Good conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And they are constantly barraged with people that call them rhinos and all that stuff. I know both of them pretty well. They're not rhinos. They just stood up for something. This is one of those moments. Sorry, Trump fans. You got to stand up for something. These are serious charges. And when everyone around the former president, many of whom are Republicans and conservatives, say this goes too far,
right?
Maybe we should listen. Quick break. Staying on the politics theme, we actually have a call out to one of the principal architects of this deal, no deal for shared revenue. We'll see how that all shakes out. So we'll see if that comes to fruition in the next half hour or so. The call has been made. I received a response. Now we're waiting for the call back.
Okay. All right.
I'm not going to say who it is until we get him.
Okay.
It is a man.
Okay.
Powerful
okay.
man in politics in the state of Wisconsin.
Okie dokie.
He's got a three-letter last name.
Okay.
All right. So my show poll today, Carol King.
Yes. What is it?
So I wanted to do politics in the first hour today. Obviously, the Trump story, friendships, relationships, seriousness of the charges are important. Just a quick wrap up on the first half hour. Take your political hats off when you're talking about this stuff. There's a lot to this, a lot of moving pieces. Let's see how it plays out in court in this story. Then we'll...
Right. That's where I stand. It's just like, you know, I'm going with the innocent until proven guilty, but these are very serious allegations and we need to let it play out. The process has to play out the way it's supposed to.
And that's the fairness piece of that. So just slow your roll. We'll see how it plays out. All right. I just promised this interview. Joining us on the phone line, the Speaker of the Wisconsin Assembly.
Hi there.
Speaker Robin Voss. Welcome.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We are good. Stephen Carroll on this Monday on WTMJ. So let's get to it. The shared revenue deal, the package for Milwaukee, lots of discussion, lots of conversation over the weekend about what Milwaukee does with this proposal. I want you to talk two different things. One, what went into it, and two, the likelihood that you think you're going to get the support from Milwaukee once they get to their decision-making.
Well, let's start out by saying that this whole thing really began last summer with some Republican legislators realizing that if we didn't update what happened with shared revenue, we were going to start to see long-term challenges for delivering fire and EMS, especially in most of Wisconsin. So you know that from being mayor of Oak Creek, Steve, that you got to find a way to get things done. But at the same time, with 6, 7, 8% inflation, it's really hard to be able to do that and keep your salaries where they are if your revenues are frozen. So I also want to give credit to the mayor and the county exec who engaged with us early after the election. They, to their credit, spent a lot of time in Madison trying to build relationships to say, we don't have to agree on everything to agree on this. I bet we had, I don't want to exaggerate, 20 or 30 hours of negotiation where we were just sitting in the room trying to see what people could accept, what would possibly happen. And now we're at the end where did everything get what they wanted? No. Did are there some things in there that if I had the choice, I would probably have said no to? Yes. But I think they would probably say the same thing. And that's the art of compromise, that each of you can walk out of there saying we got something that was important to us and we didn't give anything that was absolutely anathema to what we believe in. So I think it was a good overall package, a lot of effort. And I think that for people who have said to us, find a way to get things done, stop the arguing, you know, don't do all the political posturing. This is a prime example that when people of goodwill engage, they can usually produce.
On that point, I think it is encouraging, and I've talked about this for years on my show, that when you have divided government, this should be sort of the norm. Doesn't mean you give up your ideas or your policy ideas, but at some point there's a realization that there are two sides, there are different ways to look at things. And on this one, you said it. Local leaders have been saying for a while, I talked to a lot of them on the show, we need some help. And I think this question, specific to Milwaukee, where I'm sitting right now, do you think they will get this done? Will they make the votes necessary to work with the legislature, work with the governor to make this happen?
I tell you, Steve, I try to be optimistic. I mean, I kept hearing how it was going to be so hard to get done in the city of Milwaukee, and I just don't understand that. If somebody came to me and said, look, you are drowning, here's a lifeline, I think I would grab the lifeline before I'd argue about who was throwing it or what was the distance that it was thrown and all the other minutia. And I think that's where we are right now. Look, are there things in there that somebody in Milwaukee might object to? Perhaps. But simple things that say, number one, all the revenue has to go toward paying off the pension debt. I didn't create the pension debt. The city of Milwaukee did. I think that we also know that part of the deal says if you want to create a new program, you have to have a supermajority vote, so it can't just be done by fiat. I think that's good for fiscal management. And when we see Milwaukee on the brink of bankruptcy, I don't know why people are arguing about things that are helping their financial solvency in a way that allows them to solve their own problems without cuts to police, fire, library services, all the things that people said were important. I understand some of the consternation, but I guess once the bill hopefully passes, it's signed by the governor, and they come in the fall where they either have a massive cut to services or they take the lifeline we've offered, I think they'll take the lifeline, but only time will tell.
You know what? Here's what I don't understand, and maybe it's just my Pollyannish way of looking at life, but why is it so difficult to get both sides working together? Why?
You know, it's not hard on a topic where you don't have an ideological division. Let's take an example. I really thought it would be easy for us to focus on reading. We know that in Mississippi and other states, they did this huge effort to improve reading scores. In Wisconsin right now, two-thirds of kids, that's not just in Milwaukee, that's in Brookfield and Burlington and every place in between, they are two-thirds of kids don't read at grade level. That seems to me like an educational crisis. So you would presume that would be an area where we could find bipartisan cooperation, and I hope we can. But what I've also learned is, like every deal, you can always find one thing or two things in the deal that make you say, I'm opposed to it because I want everything my way. And on both sides, I think that's far too often the normal place people go to, where if it's not everything that I want, it's not something I can support. So I think it's part of the division in our society where you have the extremes on each end who want perfection. And if they don't get perfection, they're a no, and they're usually the loudest. So hopefully this is an example where common sense, you know, consensus, nobody had to give up things that were super important to them, but we were able to find that middle ground as an example for other things that can happen.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss joining us. One of the big wins for both sides of the political aisle was education. Speak to that a little bit.
Well, again, I went to a public school. I think there are great public schools all across the state, but I will also say not every public school is great. And if you want to give parents choices to say, hey, I think this is a better option for my son, my daughter, could be academics, could be a whole host of things that they think are done better, we have a lot of ways that they can choose something different. We have open enrollment, where you can go from public school to public school, and we also have the private school movement, where you can go from a public school to a private school. That is a huge win, I think, for every parent in the state to feel empowered that you're going to get to make the choice that's in the best interest of your kids. Now, for the left, we're going to give a $1 billion increase in public education funding. That is the largest increase ever. It also is something that's going to hopefully help to ensure that we have great teachers who are paid adequately and can stay in the classroom and keep teaching the kids that we know we need to be successful for the rest of our state. So it's a prime example where, of course, I support public schools and I'm happy about that funding, but I also wanted to make sure that we don't leave the choice schools behind, which would have been the preference of my colleagues on the other side. So I think it's a win-win for everybody.
Okay, talk a little bit about... because we spent the first half hour of the show talking about what's going to be happening down in Miami. So what are your feelings on this? Should we just kind of, we have to let this play out, right? We have to just see what happens.
I think that's a big chunk of it. I mean, it's hard to comment on things that are out of your control. I just watch as any casual observer does. It just seems to me that, you know, we need people who are running for office and are involved in office to turn the temperature down and try to find consensus and get the job done that people pay us to do, and not focus on throwing more fire on the, or more gasoline on the fire.
I always appreciate your time. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, thanks for taking the time to jump on the show.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Absolutely. You too. Speaker Robin Voss, I've been trying to get all of the voices on related to the story I had on Friday, Mayor Cavalier Johnson.
Okay.
I'm going to have Governor Evers on Wednesday's show. Still reaching out to Devin Lemahue, Majority Leader in the State Senate. I want to see where those folks are at. And also, this is a public service announcement for members of the Milwaukee Common Council,
mm-hmm.
many of whom I have not reached out to. If you have a thought on how you are going to deal with this decision, big decision, are you going to risk the financial future of the city mm-hmm. by blowing this deal up because you need 2/3? The mayor thought he had those votes when I talked to him on Friday. Are you going to do the right thing? You are welcome to come on this show and talk about your concerns and even your vote if you want to. That's an open invitation. Steve.Scafidi, 2F1D at WTMJ.com. I'm going to deviate from politics for a little bit this hour because okay. I saw something this morning that bothered me.
Okay,
so we have a policy in our refrigerators. I think there's 4 of them upstairs.
Yes.
That they're kind of cleaned out on Friday.
Okay.
Which is a good policy, trust me, because by the end of the week, it gets pretty ripe in there.
Yeah, some stuff is, should be thrown out.
But then I saw, and I actually tweeted out a picture. You can find it on my Twitter page at WTMJSteve. Somebody had a sleeve of crackers in there and a can of soup.
Why do you have a sleeve of crackers? I would think that'd get soggy. What? That's silly.
Well, beyond that, who puts a can of soup in the... Like, what are you doing there? What's the...
Was it an open can
no,
of soup?
No, it was closed.
Well, no, then that's...
How is that in there? It's not a pantry.
No. You could just put your name on a post-it note and say, this belongs to Steve.
Well, apparently there's concerns about that. One of my teammates was saying his bottle of Snapple was consumed over the weekend by somebody else.
Oh, it's radio. It happens all the time. People are constantly pilfering other people's
So you say
foods.
That's okay? You're endorsing the stamp of approval? Carol says that can happen?
I'm not saying it's
Sounds
okay.
Sounds like it.
I'm just saying that if you want to keep it, you might want to keep it at your desk so it's out of the hands of somebody who's going to take it. Happens all the time. All the time.
It sounds like you're excusing that bad behavior.
No, I'm not. No, listen, I'm the last person to excuse bad behavior. But if you want to keep your cheese sandwich to yourself, then take your cheese sandwich to your office, to your desk.
No, you can't eat at the desk anymore. That's the thing. You got to eat at the cafe.
Well, fine. So you put it in the drawer, and then at lunchtime, you take it out of the drawer and take it and keep it that way. I never... When I was in all my years of radio, brought anything that needed to be refrigerated.
Hmm.
Ever. Just because it's no holds bar with radio people. They'll take it.
So if it's in there, it's free game. Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying. Stop putting words in my mouth. What I'm saying is don't expect somebody to like, It's
I'm just fascinated by someone sticking a can of soup in there. I want to know who this psycho is. That's not normal behavior.
I don't know. Maybe they'll come forward and tell you who it is. But I'm
going to be looking when I'm up there. Who's eating soup?
But understand that people will take your stuff. Period. Just understand that that's going to be that's a problem. It can be a big problem.
All right. Do you accept Carol's lunchtime lawlessness or an ordered world where there are rules?
Would
as far
you
as-
stop saying that I'm okay with this? I'm not saying I'm okay with this. I'm just saying you have to understand, especially in the radio world, somebody will eat your cheese sandwich if you put it in the fridge. Somebody will.
What kind of barbarians are we?
It's just human nature.
I would never go in a fridge and eat someone else's food, ever.
Well, I wouldn't either. But the fact of the matter remains, it's not you and I that are doing it. There's somebody on the weekends that's going to eat your cheese sandwich. I know I'm stuck on the cheese sandwich. But if you leave your cheese sandwich in past Friday, it's not going to be there on Monday.
Walk me through the cheese sandwich. Is it just a like cheese and bread? That's the sandwich?
I would do bread with some butter and a couple pieces of cheese. Yes, that come would be on, a cheese.
Especially didn't say mayo, like so. It's just cheese, basically.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? It's the dairy state. We love cheese sandwiches.
I love cheese too, but I'm not making a sandwich with just cheese. Where's the pastrami? Where's the honey ham? Where's the bologna?
Baumgartner's Cheese Factory in Monroe, Wisconsin has been around for 60-some God knows how many years making just plain cheese sandwiches.
Do you support Carol's crazy idea about what makes a sandwich worth eating, or do you support my common sense idea that there should be a combination of meats and cheeses, maybe some relish, maybe a pickle or two? I think it's an easy choice.
Listen to you. I go back, though, to my original opinion that it's... People are going to eat somebody else's food, period.
Barbarians.
I'm not saying it's right, Steve. I'm just saying that's the way of it. That's the lawlessness that we deal with.
And I'm saying end the insanity. Rules must apply.
If you put an apple in the refrigerator, somebody's going to eat that apple.
And I say that's wrong.
It is wrong.
Quick break. The text line's hopping after our conversation about stolen food.
Listen, I'm not advocating stealing somebody else's food. I'm just a realist in the fact that this stuff happens. I know it. I've witnessed it.
From the text line, Nate, geez Louise, Carol, the break room isn't the Wild West.
How
often does, from the text line, how often does Carol steal other people's food?
I don't steal other people's food. I'm just saying that it happens.
Colin says, I can't support Carol's lunch-stealing lawlessness. What has this world come to when your cheese sandwich isn't safe?
I'm just I don't advocate stealing somebody else's food. I'm just saying it happens.
You sound like the defendant that's on the stand has been nailed, and now they're trying to weasel their way out of it with some testimony. It's not really helping.
Would you stop saying that I steal other people's food?
It's not the Wild West up there.
All right, fine. I've worked in radio for a long time. I know people that make diddly squat, and they are more than willing to steal somebody else's food.
Carol has witnessed it because there's a mirror in the break room. I don't know what that means exactly. Carol speaks like the office thief.
Wow. Okay. I'm taking...
All right, coming up at 10 o'clock hour, the indictment of Carol Kane over charges, serious charges about stolen valor in the cafe upstairs.
Okay.
All right.
Ready? I'll just own it.
All right. Own it. Enjoy it.
Yeah, whatever. Okay.
Maybe you'll be like Trump. You'll be more popular afterwards.
I'm not stealing people's food.
All right. That's a way to good way to end. News is next.
The biggest issues. The biggest stories. The biggest forum for talking about what matters. Now broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue. It's Monday with Steve and Carol.
I am Steve. She is...
Carol.
Carol, people are now sending pictures of you with a prison jumpsuit on. Food thief.
Stop it. I am not stealing other people's food.
Steve, as worldly as you make yourself appear, that seems like a cut on me. Hello. You've never worked at a place where refrigerator theft has not occurred? I've worked at a lot of places, and I don't like it. That's why I pointed it out. And the absurdity of things people put in the fridge.
Sure.
You don't put a can of soup in the fridge. That makes no sense.
Well, and no, it doesn't make any sense, but the fact of the matter is somebody put a can of soup in there. So there. It's there. There are certain things that I would not bring. See, I'm not bringing perishable stuff for lunch here. I'm not.
I've done it a couple times, not here at the old place, Radio City. A couple times. And like, if I have to work till like 4 or 5 after getting here at 6, I'm going to bring something to eat. That's the only times I can ever think of.
Right. I'm stating a fact. I'm not advocating stealing somebody else's food.
All right. You're under oath. Carol.
Yes.
Have you ever eaten someone's food out of the refrigerator that didn't belong to you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
To tell you the truth, very rarely.
Have you ever looked longingly at a sandwich or other food presentation that wasn't yours that you would have eaten if there wasn't such?
Listen, I'm not going to say that you don't sit there and go, hey, that's a nice looking sandwich. You know, I mean, come on. But it's not.
So
it's,
you have had impure thoughts when it comes to other people's lunches.
God, I hate you.
Well, that's on the record.
I really hate you.
All right.
You're making me sound like I'm a food thief, and I'm not.
You're not. Carol's not going to steal your food. So all of us upstairs, anybody that's got food, it is safe.
I do look good in stripes, though.
You do look good. You look like the Hamburglar. All right. So this story, I mean, I've talked about it. We've talked about it. The culture of drinking in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah. You know what? It's not. It's a destination almost. I mean, seriously, some people, it's so such a strong impulse for them. It's almost drinking as a destination.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
No, that's a bad thing.
I agree.
That's a bad thing.
Let me go one step further.
Yeah.
I have a lot of people that I follow on Facebook and Twitter. It's hard to find a picture of them where they don't have a drink in their hands.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like everything. Like a beer, a cocktail, at a bar. It's like that's the only picture you can find that's is one of you drinking.
I don't have that.
Think about that next time. So why this is important. The story written by Caitlin Farrell, Molly Beck, Jesse O'Poyan of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, newly anointed reporter of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Jesse O'Poyan, just started there. A sweeping new bill would overhaul Wisconsin's alcohol industry, touching everything from breweries to wineries to wedding barns.
Yeah, and the Speaker Voss is cited in this. He's part of the committee that put this thing together. I wish I would have known when I asked him about it.
Yeah, when we were talking about the shared revenue bill and education. This proposal would make sweeping changes to laws that have been in place since the 1930s in Wisconsin.
Okay.
Sales, distribution, production of all form of booze, create a new office within the State Department of Revenue to enforce new rules. Under the bill, the administrator of the division may appoint special agents and other staff to handle permitting, audits, education, sorely needed, legal, and enforcement duties.
Okay.
So where the rubber meets the road, here's a big one. Brewers can create their own retail locations without having a tap room.
Okay.
Which is not the case now. It allows wineries to stay open until early morning like the bars do. Same rules.
Oh,
they currently can't do that. Wedding barns can also do many of the things that establishments, bars, restaurants can already do. So it sort of levels the playing field. Okay. I think this is fantastic.
Well, anything that levels the playing field, I'm you know, an advocate of. I mean, one side shouldn't have an advantage over the other. So, yeah, I'm with you on that.
So the lobbyist for the Tavern League of Wisconsin, which is a very powerful group.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Scott Stenger. Called the agreement unprecedented. We need to do something. These are his words. Because there's been a real problem with regulating the industry, in our opinion, over the last 10 years. There's good and bad in it. It's the process of negotiating. It doesn't reflect on anyone's one group's desire, which is probably a good thing. Wisconsin grocers weighed in. They support the bill. Wisconsin Craft Beverage Coalition, which is 250 independent distillers, winemakers, and brewers, said the bill provided clarity. This is a win for everybody.
I think so.
And standardizes the rules
right here.
I'm a big fan of these kind of newer places, the wedding barns, these small brewers that have really been left out because they have to take the expensive next step of creating a tap room.
Uh-huh.
Let them just play in the world of retail. Let them let people enjoy their product.
Right. Critics say the system's rules were outdated and often archaic, hampering new and growing aspects of the state's alcohol industry. Chief longstanding concern has also been the lack of dedicated staff at the state DOR to enforce current law, making it inequitable for business across the industry.
That's not unique to the Department of Revenue. There's significant, and we saw it with unemployment, just there's not enough people to do the job.
Yeah.
And they're overwhelmed at times, and they can't do that work. We're not going to solve that problem with this. I think this is a needed moment of clarity in a state that really, really
relies on.
Yeah, and is hyper focused on the consumption of alcohol.
Right.
In my mind, to the negative.
Yeah, I think we're a little overzealous when it comes to that department. Once again, I think that this, you know, like Friday afternoons, people are looking forward to having their. I just got somebody sent me on Friday. It was like 3 o'clock. And they showed this clock chime in, and all of a sudden, boom, crack, there it is. It's the weekend. Here we go. But I do think we are hyper-focused a little bit more on the drinking aspect of things. And I think to the north of, once you get up into the northern woods, it's, when I say it's a destination, I mean it's a destination.
It is the culture.
Right.
And
we spend an awful lot of time wrapping our time around alcohol and drinking.
Corner bars used to be the term. It's not necessarily corner bars, but they are destination places for families, for friends.
I had breakfast, to tell you the truth. I had breakfast with a cousin that I hadn't seen in a long time, and he just got done. He works at Miller Coors. He works there, and he got off third shift, and we're sitting there having breakfast, and at 8 o'clock in the morning, he was ordering a Bloody Mary. And it was just like, he goes, I just got done with work. And I'm like, oh, go ahead, knock yourself out.
I never drink before noon.
Never?
Not that I can think of.
What if you're tailgating?
I haven't tailgated in a long time.
Okay.
And even then, well, yeah, Packers game, you mean? Yeah, maybe.
What if you're at a picnic or something?
Yeah, probably not. I'd have a soda first.
See, because I will tell you this, that when we used to camp out, which I know is a big no-no in your department, but when we used to camp out on the 3rd of July down at the lakefront, I would get done with work and I'd zip over where we were camped out for the fireworks. I can probably honestly say that I had a beer at like maybe 10:30 in the morning.
Let's take this big picture.
Okay.
We all know about the culture of drinking in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a piece of that puzzle, right? Trying to make sure that it's fair for all the different entities involved in that conversation. Do you think that as a state, as a culture of those of us who live in Wisconsin related to how we entertain, how we celebrate our weekends, are we way over the top when it comes to...
I think we're unusual. I do. I think the state of Wisconsin is an unusual state when it comes to the idea of drinking and alcoholic beverages. I do think that we stand out. I think that there probably is way more happening than happens in other states. And especially especially with our sporting teams and things like that. And you've got the Brewers and you've got the Badgers. I will tell you this, I'm ashamed to even say it, but the pictures of me at the Badger games when I was a young girl, yeah. Yeah.
Alcohol was involved?
Yeah. And I'm not proud of that.
855-616-16. So just a general overview. This is obviously one little piece of that puzzle. Talking about the consumption, the sales. Do we make it too easy to consume in the state? I would argue we do. The problem for me has always been enforcement and the laxness of attitude we have towards consumption. And I've used this example a million times. On any given night or weekend, there's a bunch of people at your favorite watering hole.
Oh, sure.
Who are going to consume alcohol
mm-hmm.
to a degree which I think probably puts them over the 0.08.
Impairment, yes.
And they're going to get in their vehicle.
Yeah.
And they're going to go on their way. Happens every day.
Every day. Every day. And I've been guilty of it myself
and as
when
someone
I was
who,
younger.
Yeah, as was I. I'm not saying I'm innocent. But as an adult, I've made a conscious decision not to do that. I'm not sure that Wisconsinites have also made that conscious decision. That's where we're going to start, 855-616-1620. On the alcohol conversation, we're trying to streamline, make our sales side more efficient and the regulation of the industry, but on our side, the consumption side,
mm-hmm.
has anything changed? Are we doing anything differently? I would argue the answer is no. Quick break. We've all talked about the drinking culture in Wisconsin. I mentioned before that I have friends and family that every picture that they post anywhere on social media has a picture of them drinking with or with a drink in their hands or at a drinking event or at a bar.
Yeah,
is that something that people don't even think about anymore?
I don't think that an awful lot of people even think about it anymore. It's so commonplace. Let me just say this. I remember growing up, and my dad would call from the pharmacy when he was on his way home. And it happened every day when he was working. He would come home for dinner and he would say, my nickname was Bobble Meese. He'd say, I know, right? He'd say, Bobble Meese, can you make one for me? And I would make a little Manhattan for him and he would have one every day before dinner. Every day.
That's at home. Yeah.
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 A little bit different. I mean, I don't drink at home that much unless I'm having a party.
Well, at any given time, we've got a cracked bottle of vodka sitting at the house. I mean, it's just the way it is, and it's available if Lou wants to have one when he gets done with work. I understand the whole powering down. You've had a long day. You just want to relax. I get it. But unfortunately, we are in a culture where we can't just stop at one. For some reason, most people will have two, three, four, whatever.
I would argue after two, you're starting to get close to that line, especially for smaller people.
Oh, yeah.
For example, I like to drink. I was out Saturday night, Dobie's in St. Francis. Fantastic food, by the way. Old-time supper club. Been there forever.
Okay. What'd you have, Tito's and tonic?
No, I had an old-fashioned. I wanted to try their old-fashioned. Delicious.
And I had
a glass of their Cabernet. Also delicious.
Got it.
But I have a designated driver. My wife doesn't drink.
Oh,
so
sure.
It's no decision for me.
You know, you bring up a very, very good point, and we could maybe address this with Anna and Jess when they show up in the 11 o'clock hour. My kids never go out with their friends without having a designated driver. Never. They're so much more responsible than I have even ever given them credit for. I just think that that's part of, at least that's a positive part of the culture in the direction that we are moving.
And that's encouraging because I'm also getting texts, this one from Jim, that there's nothing unique about Wisconsin. Whatever happens at Madison's going on in Ann Arbor, just like it does here.
Sure. Well,
universities are different, obviously.
Yeah. Without a doubt, the universities are different. I just don't think that there's, you know, I've seen stuff like down in Mississippi and things like that, those big rivalries and they're, you know, they're tailgating and everybody's having, you know, a couple of pops. I get it. But that's the collegiate culture. I just think that we don't know how to say stop.
I would agree. From the 770 area code, thanks for the long distance. Listen, totally disagree. I lived in Georgia for 13 years, and it's crazy there, just like here from Michelle.
Georgia Bulldogs, you bet. There's some of those southern rivalries are just huge. But once again, I just think that here in Wisconsin, it's just assumed we're going to drink.
This from Taylor in River Hills. Am I wrong that there's a focus of busting drunk drivers in neighborhoods more than Brewers games, Summerfest, Packer games, where they could nail thousands of people leaving these events to get to their neighborhoods? I don't know if there's a renewed focus on one versus the other. I'm just saying, and I'm encouraged by what you said about the younger generation.
Yeah.
I hope that that's the case because mm-hmm. our generation, we didn't follow any rules.
No.
To our detriment, because I think that was a dangerous situation that was very commonplace.
Right.
And I can share stories of, you know, being RCs, judges on North, Wolskies, late into the evening. Sometimes I'm listening, for those fans of Wolskies, I'm listening to Rosalita or Frank Sinatra sing in New York, New York, which means the end of the night at Wolskies, and then driving home.
Sure.
Well over, I think, what the level was at 0.15 at that time.
So, I think it happens a lot more than you'd like to think.
Yeah, so I'm admitting that mm-hmm. we didn't follow the rules. But I think there's some rules that we should be following now, and hopefully that we're all doing that. We got to take a break here. News with Connie Weber's coming up. Lots more to talk about on today's show with Carol Kane on WTMJ. And away again in Margaritaville. Yes, I did sing this at a karaoke bar one night in northern Wisconsin, which will go unnamed. Fully admitting that, and I brought the house down.
You were singing karaoke?
Oh, yeah, Carol. Okay. Alcohol does crazy things to people, trust me.
So you don't want to hear me sing. Holy mackerel. It's like cats mating.
We'll record something and we'll play it for you at a later date. All right, from a couple quick texts, I thought they were interesting. From the 262, I'm all for these rule changes and regarding the drinking culture in Wisconsin. I know a family proud that they had their son's high school graduation party this weekend in a favorite bar. Did that go too far?
Well, if, you can do whatever you
bar
want.
Bar, restaurants, you know, that's different. If it's a bar.
Why are you taking your high school kid to a bar?
It does seem a little bit odd. But, you know, often this is the point that a lot of people made. In rural areas, there aren't a lot of choices.
That's true.
So it's either your backyard or one of the local watering holes. Here's a funny one from the 920. See, humor in everything. My dad was teaching me how to drive. I didn't realize how touchy the brakes were, and I slammed on the brakes. He said, if you ever spill my beer again, I'm done teaching how to drive. that reeks of Wisconsin.
Oh, sure it does. Yeah. You know, dad's got a beer between his legs as he's trying to teach you how to drive.
All right, we're going to take a break for the news, and after that, we're going to talk health issues. The Spano's off today. Just a little tease for you. We have four pack of Summerfest tickets to give out at some point in the show today and every day this week. That's nothing to sniff at.
No.
No, that's... I said sniff because of the next story.
Okay, all right.
You know what's coming.
Yeah, I do.
So, I've actually had this conversation with my doctors. And I've been at doctors for hearing. I had my hearing check, which is very good, by the way. I was very satisfied about that.
Oh, my hearing's terrible. In all honesty, the last time, she literally yelled at me. Like, screamed at me.
And you yelled back.
Well, I finally just held up a hand and I said, pump the brakes. Stop yelling at me.
How'd that go over?
Not very well.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. So, and I raised this question because if anyone out there has tried to schedule an appointment with a medical provider.
It's awful, isn't it? Yeah.
I mean, the waits are incredible. So, I mean, just for my, I eventually had my eardrum punctured.
Right, because you had to relieve the fluid.
It wouldn't resolve naturally. Now, since then, it's healed up and my hearing's fine. But it was like, I've told the story in the air, it was like being in a tunnel all the time.
Yeah, that's
it was maddening.
Yeah.
And irritating.
Right.
Yet I maintained my sunshiny demeanor the whole time.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Shows you the level that I will go to deliver a quality product. But set that aside.
All right.
So, as part of that conversation.
Uh-huh.
Everything that people are suffering from now is like a major thing. It's like there's no more like remember just a common cold?
Right. It doesn't exist anymore.
Everything's like, you have COVID? Do you have some respiratory? Do you have RSV?
Yeah.
Do you have long COVID?
Right.
I was at golf a couple weeks ago, and I don't know how the subject of COVID came up. And then I mentioned long COVID, and everyone's like, what the hell's long COVID?
What does that mean?
Symptoms that linger.
Yeah. Well, you've got the seasonal flu, and you've got a different kind of
allergies.
Flu. There's always my allergies are bad too. You know, the adenovirus and the enterovirus, and you know, it's just like everything's got to have a name. Why can't it just be I have a common cold?
Well, my theory is the pandemic scared people because they don't know like what's the common cold or just a simple respiratory illness or something. So they have to rush to the doctor.
Right.
Or emergency rooms in some cases, which is not a smart call.
Take an Advil. Take an Advil and sit down.
Right? Start with your home meds. I'm sure, like anybody out there, if you went into your medicine cabinet right now, you probably have some Aleve, some Tylenol. What else is out there?
Well,
Bayer aspirin?
Sure. Bayer, Excedrin. You know, I'm a pharmacist's daughter, for Pete's sake, so popping pills is nothing to me.
You're like Jimi Hendrix up in your medicine cabinet.
But I mean, that's the way my dad used to always operate. And he was the pharmacist. It was just like, okay, first let's get you started on some aspirin and let's see where that takes us. And then we'll go from there. Not everything has to be rushing to the doctor.
But I've got a theory. Okay. So given the pandemic scare, and I'm not a COVID denier, I believe COVID was real and it is real. And
sure.
The pandemic is a real thing that we should probably not try to second guess now that we know more information. We didn't know all that at the beginning and it was scary for a lot of people, including men and women in nursing homes. So let's pump the brakes on that thing.
Okay.
But it has, I think, encouraged a culture now or society saying, I better get to the doctor. I don't know what this is. Is this COVID? Is this something more serious? And that change has seriously impacted the medical providers in the medical community to the point where you can't get an appointment for weeks at a time.
Oh, easy. Yeah, easily. You know, and there's, it's just, you've got SARS, you've got, what is that, COV2, RSV, HM. Now, that one is very serious, the HMPV. I really, seriously, get your kids vaccinated against that one, because that's a real serious thing.
Well, even that decision is now controversial.
But I'm telling you right now, when I had a cold this past winter, and everybody was just like at arm's length, and I go, I have a cold. Well, aren't you going to get tested? You have to get tested. Go get one of those tests. I'm like, it's a cold.
And you had COVID.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I before each of my surgeries last year, I had to have a COVID test.
It was required.
Test.
I think it might still be.
I'm sure it is. But I mean, I tested positive long time ago, right? When it first started, when you had to go and get, you know, you pull up in the car and they shove the thing in your nose before the...
Yeah.
Remember
that?
Yeah. Yeah. That was on New Year's Eve 2020. And I remember
Happy
getting
Happy New Year. Here's the thing. I'm going to shove up your nose so it hurts.
Yeah. Okay. Carol, you're positive. Oh, fantastic news. Great. But, you know, and I think that sometimes if it gets really bad, like an upper respiratory infection and things like that, or an ear infection or things like that, sure, you got to go see a doc for that because you need some kind of antibiotics. But first, let's try an aspirin.
Yeah, or just a regular over-the-counter cold medicine. Now, the thing that exacerbated this problem was a lot of those cold medicines were out of stock on the shelves of,
sure,
of our pharmacies. I didn't know this until I read this story. I'm reading from an NBC News story on what basically what happened to the common cold. Colds? Well, I'll just ask you.
Okay.
How long do colds last, generally?
I would, to tell you the truth, it's like a 10-day thing.
Yeah, that's right. It's almost 2 weeks. I think this also speaks to the impatience of our culture.
Oh,
I don't want to have a cold for 2 weeks. Well, that's what...
Yeah.
That's how long colds take to play out.
You're going to feel like crap for about 10 days, okay? And if you have to take an over-the-counter cold medicine, just take an over-the-counter. And you know what? Here's another thing. Just stay home if you've got something like that. Just stay home.
That's the hard one for people.
Yeah. You don't need to power through and show, because to tell you the truth, your employer doesn't care.
Before and after the pandemic, the average American got between 2 and 4 colds a year. Remember the pandemic? We weren't getting colds. Why? Because we were masked all the time because we were wiping our hands constantly with disinfectant and wiping surfaces.
Yeah.
There wasn't any transmission happening. Once that stopped, hey, colds are back. Welcome, everybody.
Washing our hands for 3 minutes. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Now it's 5 seconds quickly running to the hot, these hot air blow dryers we have here and anywhere.
Yeah. I think, you know, we have to just stop panicking. And stop naming everything. It's totally fine. You just and it's not like we're coming down with Ebola. You know, I have a cold. Are you sure? Are you sure? Maybe you should stay over there. Stay away. So, you know, don't. Come on. It's a cold. I am going to shove the Kleenex up my nose and just walk around with, because my nose is running all
with
the time.
With the Kleenex in your nose, you're going to walk around?
I walked the dog the other day with the Kleenex hanging out of my nose. Because my allergies are so bad, my nose runs all
Man,
the time.
Man, if anyone has a picture of that, I would probably pay
my
some good coin for
My girlfriend Mary couldn't stop laughing. She's like, what are you doing?
That's a tough look to carry off, especially as a radio legend. Steve, 3 years into COVID and your golf buddy's just now heard of long COVID. It speaks to the bubble that they live in.
Okay.
Yeah, they should probably know what long COVID is. The question is really, do they take it seriously?
Well, how do you combat that?
I can't make people smarter.
I mean, seriously.
I can give you the information to make you smarter. You got to do that all on your own.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my line of delineation there. I can give you as much as I can give you. You got to make a conscious decision to be smarter. Listen better, be smarter.
I understand there are certain. I was at the grocery store the other day, and there were a bunch of people that were remasking, which is fine. You want to keep the mask on? That's fine with me. I don't care. I just don't, because to tell you the truth, if I catch something, it helps boost my immunity, I think.
Yeah, true. The mask retirement requirement has been dropped. My last doctor visit, I didn't have to wear a mask. Texter 414 had a mastectomy on May 18th. No COVID test. In fact, masks not required at doctor appointments.
Oh, okay. So that's interesting.
Pretty significant.
Well, I hope you're all right.
I hope you did well. 9-2, I just had surgery this morning. Wow, hope you're feeling better. No COVID test required.
Surgery this morning?
Yes, and they're texting.
That's a loyal listener.
855-616-1620. Is it much to do about nothing now when it comes to illness? I think it kind of is, but I'm not going to go so far as to say it's the fault of the pandemic. It's our fault. We have to assess our own situations,
right,
and probably not overreact. We'll have that conversation with you after this. Are we overstating our illnesses now? Is it a COVID reaction or a response to what we've all had to go through the years of that pandemic? Gianni joins us from beautiful Montello. Hi, Gianni.
Hi.
Oh, hey, listen, great topic. Steve and Carol, I have not had a cold probably for 15 or 20 years, and that includes the flu. But I did wake up one morning in January when that cold spell hit at the end of January,
right,
and I had fluid exuding from my ears. And it turns out I had, for the first time in my life, an ear infection.
Which was very common at that time, because trust me, I had one as well.
And I was out of work for a month. I completely lost my hearing in my right ear and most of it in my left ear. I could not hear. And I had the option of getting my eardrums pierced and having that fluid drained. I chose not to do that.
I chose the opposite.
I was back to normal in about, maybe 6 weeks, 7 weeks. Do you have a history of this, Steve?
No,
has this happened before?
No, I had the same thing you had, as did thousands of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And to varying degrees, mine, after probably 2.5 months of not getting better, said, let's just drain the fluid. And it was a pretty simple procedure. And thankfully, I don't have any problems now. But, you know, to that point, I'm curious how you escaped a cold for all those years. Do you have a public-facing job or no?
I was a caregiver, so I had to be very, very careful around people. And so I was not exposed to, the common viruses that would move in a population, but not entirely. But, I had to go into town and buy food and that. But I was, for the most part, sequestered. And that was, great, because prior to that, I was working in the schools, and, I was sick every week during the wintertime.
What do you make of the idea that the pandemic has trained us to be probably too cautious or too...
We panic.
Yeah, we panic. We jump to the doctor when we probably don't need to.
Well, I think that's correct, because there was so much hype around COVID, and I avoided that as well. There is viruses. Let's be honest. The history of humanity is shaped by disease, mm-hmm, and pandemics
and war.
So I think war, right. But when you look, unfortunately, we didn't have a revisitation of the 1918 flu epidemic. But I think there was a lot of so if you were immune compromised, you may have been on a respirator or intubated. So it was dangerous for some, but I think for the most part, most of us got through it, and I was fortunate not to even contract COVID.
I'm glad your hearing's back so you can listen to the show. Thanks to Gianni calling from Montello.
Right. Yeah,
that was so common. My eye, ear, and nose doctor, Harris, said I could see people all day. And his treatment was not the same as mine. I opted for that because I couldn't hear out of my right ear.
Right, right. I know. And I struggled. I know you struggled.
It was unbelievable.
Well, they're saying the CDC has come out with some guidelines as to when maybe you should be concerned. And it says a fever that doesn't improve over 2 or 3 days with fever-reducing meds. Okay, so that means take some aspirin, take some Advil, take some Tylenol, see if you can bring the fever down. A kid, a child that has over 100 degrees.
Yeah.
A fever. Okay, fine. I totally get symptoms that improve but then quickly worsen. So, okay, there's cause for concern. And then the pulse, this one, I don't even know what this is. Pulse oximeter readings that drop below 90%. I don't even know what that is.
Your pulse slows, right? Is that what?
I don't know what a pulse oximeter is.
Well, somebody really smart out there will tell us that. From the 414, before we go to break here, Steve, my mother-in-law drives me crazy. Well, that's not a health issue, but it might be. She had a stomach flu about a month ago. She had to go to the doctor, had convinced herself she had colon cancer, told her she didn't, and kept her diet light for a while. Guess what? She was better in a week after it ran its course. Doctor also told her to go home and rest. I think the older population is now extremely fearful of everything since COVID, and they are taking up a lot of doctors' time. I'm not saying that's wrong.
If you have a cause for concern, that's one thing. But just, you know, if you just feel a little punk for a couple of days, you don't need to go run off and see a doctor. I just said this off the air. I think Lou's got a built-in penicillin factory going because his mom threw nothing away. Nothing. Like, when I'd go over and her homemade Polish sausage, it might have had mold on it the day before. You know, she'd
just scream it. So he has everything built in now.
He never, ever, ever gets sick. And he's never had COVID.
Neither have I. Neither has my wife. And I consider myself, knock on whatever this is, lucky that that was the case. Here's my, this is just a warning for people. There's a lot of bravado right now about how we potentially overplayed or responded to the pandemic. Keep in mind, there's a lot of elderly people in this country.
Right.
Keep in mind, there's a lot of elderly people with pre-existing conditions, things that put them at a higher risk. Let's not downplay it so it appears that you're ready to discard that part of the population.
Yeah, no.
Because you don't want to be uncomfortable. And I told them on this show, there was how many stories I saw people overreacting to the point of ridiculousness about wearing a mask. That's a reflection on you, not society. You looked like the fool in that situation.
Right.
Because
right.
You couldn't, I'll say it, man up and honor the requirements of that store or that doctor's office. You wanted to make a big deal out of it, not knowing at the time what you know now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To me, that's a big deal. I'm kind of tired of the Monday morning quarterbacking on this. We didn't know then what we know now. And that makes this a much more difficult situation. Quick break here on WTMJ. My friend Don, who knows of what he speaks, has a pulse oximeter, measures the percent of oxygen level in your blood. And about 50 texters also had that same answer. A lot of smart people
okay,
out there.
Then that's like my mom had one of those little, like a finger thing.
Yeah, yes.
That's what that is?
I think so, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And you know what, to address what you were saying about the elderly, that's, you know, I'm hyper aware of that just because COVID did kill my mother. So I want to make sure that they're safe. So I just, you know, just throwing that out.
There's this weird, and this is not everybody. I don't want to condemn the entire country. There's a group of people that somehow felt if somebody had some of these pre-existing conditions or were obese, well, that's their fault.
Yeah.
If they weren't obese and they got COVID, they would have survived. Well, that's not how life works.
No, it's not. Yeah, no, you can't say that.
I'm going to squeeze in Tom because he was patient on the phone. Tom from New Berlin. Hi, Tom.
Hi. How are you?
We're good.
I have several points in relation to what you're saying. I mean, one thing I want to say is that the only thing I can start off with is I'm the guy that called a few weeks ago and I told you I did 20 pull-ups and I'm 6'2 and I weigh 200.
There you go.
Because you just mentioned, I did do it in sets of steps, but it was still, I did do it at the gym, that I'm going there today again. Anyway, so you just mentioned obesity. That is part of dying and getting sick from COVID, not being in shape. And I'm not against obese people, but that is part of it.
Sure. You want everyone to be healthy and not obese. I get you.
Yeah, as many things. And I actually lost 50 pounds, 25 pounds the first month. I was technically obese at one point in 2014. I'm 6'2", I weighed 230, which is obese, and I went down to 180. But anyway, one thing I want to say in relation, okay, so anyway, the bottom line, to sum it up, I had COVID, but it was just a cough for 2 weeks. And my wife had COVID. She got it right away in April 2020. She was very sick for 3.5 months. And she was not into working out as much as I am. I hope she's not listening. But anyway,
you're crediting your working out with making your COVID a little bit easier. Is that what you're saying?
Right. But, yeah, I have a few other things to share. The biggest
make it quick, buddy.
America already has 1.1 million deaths of COVID. Brazil is second at 700,000, and it's because of America being against wearing masks. The mask made a difference. You mentioned wiping things off. It came out in July of 2020, wiping things. COVID has not passed with that, but the masks make a difference. And now that we have the vaccine, that's why we don't have so many deaths.
All right, thanks for the call, Tom. And I just to be totally clear, I mentioned wiping surfaces off in relation to the common cold, which does matter.
Sure.
Germs matter. It's not like it's just about COVID. Thanks to the caller. We got a whole another hour. Anna and Jesse, anything but sports. We do it once a month. Today mm-hmm. is that day.
Yep.
They'll join us. We're talking about the ick factor.
I-C-K
factor? I-C-K.
Okay.
Not sick. I-C-K, which is a completely different thing.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Yeah.
Anna and Jesse, anything but sports. After the news, which is...
The biggest issues. The biggest stories. The biggest forum for talking about what matters. Now broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue. It's Monday with Steve and Carol.
Oh, not just Steve and Carol. Somebody asked me the other day, when is Anna and Jesse going to be back on? Upstairs. So it was an employee of GKB. Anna to my left and Jesse straight away from
Hello.
Me. Welcome. Good to see you again.
The people want us, Steve. We're a hot commodity.
Is once a month not enough?
No.
The people have spoken. You want to do more?
We're coming for your job, Steve.
You're welcome. What I love about when you come on is you often want to redefine the culture. You come up with really interesting topics. So I let you have carte blanche, which means you can do whatever you want.
Oh.
Does that make sense to you?
I've never heard of
Anna,
that term.
She looked at me like, what does that mean? Are you French? That means that you can almost do whatever you want.
We love that.
So this one, you guys ran with this.
Okay.
Carol, they ran with this one.
Okay.
Almost literally.
What did they run with?
The ick factor. Define for us, all of us.
I will define the ick for you. It's something that someone does that is an instant turnoff to you, making you instantly hate the idea of being with them romantically. Alternatively, it can be used to describe something that makes you uncomfortable or weirded out. So, like a turnoff.
Okay,
yeah,
got it.
So if you think of feeling icky, there's also the term catching the ick.
Mm-hmm.
And a debate that we often have is once you catch the ick for someone, for a romantic partner, a potential romantic partner, once you catch that ick, is it irreparable?
Can you
That's
reverse
a good
it?
Question.
Yeah, the horse is out of the barn as far as I'm concerned.
See?
Once you get the ick factor, it's done.
When you first posed this to me, I didn't put it in romantic terms. I just said, because on the video, I said...
More like pet peeve sense.
Yeah, people who wear sandals that have nasty feet, don't wear sandals.
Yeah.
I don't want to be exposed to that. I don't want to see it on planes. I don't want to see it at festivals. I don't want to see it anywhere.
Festivals.
But when you put it in romantic terms, for me, it's bad breath.
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah, that's across the board. Yeah, that's bad.
That's not happening.
That halitosis thing?
Whatever that is, I'm not having any of it.
See, you know, right. How do you, I don't even know how you go in for the kiss if you've got that bad breath.
No,
I mean, that's awful.
Well, you don't.
You know, I'm picky enough that, and I said this off the air, but I mean this in all sincerity, I hate it when somebody holds their utensils like in their fist and they shovel. And they
shoveling.
Like shovel it in their face.
Like they're a cave person or
it's
a sailor
like,
on a ship.
Use the utensils the way they were meant to be, not like a shovel. Stop it.
That's a very specific, unique one.
Yeah, who did that? Did you go on a date with someone who's shoveling?
No.
Was it Lou? Was it Lou?
No.
Is he a graceful eater?
Yes, graceful. He's a very graceful eater. I see it sometimes and it's like, hold your spoon the correct way.
I'm so with you. Table manners.
Jesse got etiquette class.
Yes, that's true.
All right, so let's hear from, Anna first. What is your ick?
Like my hilarious one that's like so unrealistic.
Very niche.
Is when a man has really giant hands and they're cutting with like little safety scissors. Like I was just telling Steve he has really big hands. So if I were to see him cut, I would get the ick for Steve.
Get me some little scissors.
And you'll be warding them off.
That's a very unique one, though.
I don't know
like,
why.
How often would that come up in real life?
Not often. My more realistic one is, again, with the feet. This is going with the WTMJ host of feet things.
Yes.
I hate when men wear thong sandals. Throw them in the trash.
All right, so define, I don't wear sandals.
Like it goes between the toes.
Flip-flops. A flip-flop.
Gross look.
Like slides are fine.
Yeah, slides are fine. Birkenstocks are fine. I do not want to see those thong. Ugh. No, it's an icky. It's ick.
Yeah.
Okay. Jesse?
My niche one was anytime a man has to physically chase after something. So like picture your receipt is blowing away in the parking lot. Don't run. Like just don't. Be a man.
How often does that happen?
You don't need to chase.
I don't get these.
I feel like that's more realistic. So the thing with the ick is, I feel like it's so like
it's your specific thing.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm asking for ick submissions. So
great.
Bad teeth came up really quickly.
Yep, that's a big one.
The thing about the bad breath one though, there's easy things you can do to fix that, but how are these people not aware of this? That's what I don't get.
True, like how have you made it this far?
And it's been a while for me because my wife has wonderful breath. But when I was dating,
that's why we love her.
When that's coming at you, there's nowhere to go.
What are you? You can't run. You can't.
Because if you turn your head, date's over. Basically.
True. Yeah. I think that's just comes down to
that's
either
an irreparable one,
bad friends or bad family. That's not telling them they got stanky breath.
Yeah. I would tell you, Anna.
I would tell you, too.
Thank you, girl.
All right. Other than the very obtuse eating with a spoon.
Like a shovel.
give me a physical one, a physical ick.
I can't stand dirty fingernails.
Good one, Carol.
I can't stand.
I mean, too short.
It's like, yeah, clean those babies up. You know, wash your hands. Hard. You don't have dirty fingernails.
No, Steve's presenting his hands to us.
And I mean, I understand if you're like if you work construction or something like that, that's fine. But clean yours. I deserve a clean person. And you, if you're going to go and want to spend time with me, you better clean it up. Clean it up.
Amen.
She is Carol Kane. Anna and Jesse join us. Anything but sports. All right. We need your ick factors. 855-616-1620. As we go to break here. Exposed armpit hair on anyone.
Oh, dear.
On anyone?
On anyone. Guys, too?
I don't mind guys.
No.
If you want to wear a tank or
Come
something,
on,
that's
be
fine.
Manly out there. What's the big deal?
Armpit hair is coming back for women.
Now, that's an ick factor for me.
Well,
oh, gosh.
Madonna's daughter, she kind of started that. Madonna's Lourdes. She's the one that was always on the red carpet with the big armpit hair.
So if I argue that...
Slay queen.
It should be the same for men and women. I suppose I'd have to put up with that.
You have to say that that's okay.
I say ick. Quick break. Oh, my culture specialists, experts, Anna and Jesse, anything but sports, joining us in studio along with Carol Kane, radio legend. We know that because it says it on your mug.
Well, and here once again, because people are gonna think I made this myself, which I did not.
No, you did. My wife made that.
Your wife.
Oh,
I love that.
Yeah,
love
talented Kathy. Yes, she makes everything.
You know, I thought I got another one. You guys,
I don't want
you. If you're gonna show up for a date with me, not that I've been dating.
I was gonna say,
but. If you show up at my doorstep wearing the Curious George t-shirt that your daughter picked out for you, no. You're turning right around and going home. I want you in a dress shirt and a nice pair of slacks. You're not going to sit there and come in some kind of anime. No.
Period.
No. So a dress code.
You're going to clean yourself up if you're going to go out with me.
How about this one? Tank tops. What came up on the...
For men?
I just don't like it.
Oh, God, icky. No. tank tops and the thong sandals, I'm running. The other direction.
Now, this one is really interesting. This came from the 920 on the old National Bank talking text line. This is the texter. I make my husband shave his pits. Men with pit hair, yuck and ick.
Okay. Yuck and ick.
I'm going for the equality here.
I don't think that's a common
equality.
Thing.
I don't think that's a common thing either, but ick equality, we're starting that.
What is it? Equality?
Equality.
Oh,
that's a good one.
This one, a lot of people saying smoking, smokers. The smell of smoke.
The smell of smoke, yeah.
That doesn't bother me.
Every day, everywhere. Once that smell is there, though, you can't get rid of it.
Yeah, it's stuck forever.
BO, teeth very important. Men wearing sweatpants in public places.
That doesn't give me an ick as much because that's so normal in our generation.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe you're on the way to the gym.
Yeah,
okay,
but
at the airport.
If you're going to wear sweatpants, have your underwear on.
What? People don't wear underwear with sweatpants?
If you are a guy and you're going to show up with no underwear and sweatpants, really I don't want to see that either.
All right, so let me ask the question since you brought it up. That could be someone's ick factor. People walk around with no underwear on. Is that a common thing or uncommon?
How do I know?
I have met a guy and he did not wear underwear.
That was his policy?
We were just talking about this person today and he just never wore underwear.
That just doesn't seem right.
That's what I'm saying. It was strange.
That seems like a...
I go commando all the time.
Well, it's healthy for women.
You know, we're on the air. Right?
I go commando. That's the way I roll. All the time.
So right now.
Yes, ma'am.
She needs a second mug. This radio legend is Commando.
You heard it here, folks.
There, wow. I don't mind
Steve
saying
Steve is
it.
Like, what do I say back
I'm not
to
sure
that?
How I respond to that, actually.
I do this to him all the time. Poor guy. He's just like, what does she say? I do it all the time.
Steve's like, how do I change
Maybe
the topic?
Maybe he caught the ick.
How long has this been going on?
Oh, God, years.
And the reasoning is?
I don't know. It's just...
Comfortable?
Yeah, it's freeing.
Wow, I really like the prerogative of you can do whatever you want, but the man has to be completely buttoned up. I'm on board with that, genuinely.
But let me just say this. A guy walks in with no underwear and sweatpants, you're going to be able to tell he's not wearing underwear.
That's
you
true.
Had absolutely true. No idea that well, I'm hopefully. Going commando right
on
now.
On that point, this is from John.
Yeah, let's hear this.
Overweight people wearing short shorts.
Oh. Ooh.
Well,
come on,
yeah.
John. We're on the body positivity.
We're getting
wave
a little
here.
Mean on people's physical I don't really, character. Yeah. I don't really like that.
And a shirt three sizes too small.
Oh, this guy has had some experiences. Sounds like.
Let's see. For the 262, I'm a 61-year-old male and I get pedicures every 7 weeks. I have a
I love that. Slay. I love that.
That is so great.
I think that's more acceptable now because like I never heard of that when I was growing up.
It's because Michael Jordan started doing it.
Is that what it was?
Is
yeah,
that
I think
thing?
So.
Yep. Oh. He probably had some nasty feet, though.
The Carol love is coming in. I go commando as often as possible.
Oh, I love this.
Apparently that's a thing.
See, we're bringing people together here.
Let's see. I'm a man and I don't shave my pits, but I... Jeez. Trim it very short.
What? I didn't know what you were going to say there. I was a little scared.
No, sometimes you never know where the thing's going to go. Half shirts for guys.
Like a crop top?
Like a crop top?
Half is that what
shirt?
It's called?
I've never heard it called a half shirt. I'm kind of into that.
To feature
that.
The abs, if they have abs.
Oh.
I like that. That's a 90s trend that's coming back.
I do not like that.
I think like in a workout sense, if you got the abs, crop the shirt.
Since I'm surrounded by three women who wear far too much makeup.
I think makeup's an art.
I agree.
Yeah, and as you get older, you got to kind of rein it in. Mm. You know, I mean, I basically
that's
use...
True.
I use lipstick, blush, and mascara, basically. That's what I don't really even use, like, eyeshadow anymore.
I think the older you get, the more important the skincare base becomes.
Yeah.
Like, more skincare, so
lotion.
Makeup.
My wife has got me on a lotion regimen now. Because I've got wrinkles that have wrinkles. I mean, I've lived a life.
Oh, yeah, we get Botox for that.
We do. We do, indeed.
So you're already getting Botox.
Well, it's preventative. See how quickly Psych. We
See,
come
they're
up
too
with
young
that
for, You guys are too young for Botox,
I disagree, Carol. I think it's preventative. So none, when we're Steve's age, we're going to be beautiful.
I can't furrow my brow if I wanted to right
That's because we have Botox.
Exactly.
Just in your forehead?
Yeah.
Forehead and forehead, I have my crow's feet.
Yeah.
Here's a guy's.
You don't have any crow's feet.
Oh, I do. Yeah, I don't right now because I got Botox.
All right. It's not a sponsored mention about Botox. Let's go easy on that. So this is a big one with guys and their spouses, partners, girlfriends, whatever.
Sure.
Socks and sandals.
Who told us that they didn't like that?
Oh, we were talking. So how the whole conversation even started about X is we were talking about this at lunch with our other teammates here. And someone said wearing socks to bed is an ick.
I would never wear socks to bed. Wouldn't it be hot?
Yeah. No, my feet get cold. I wear socks to bed.
So you don't wear underwear,
but
you put socks on.
In the winter, I do.
My feet make sense.
How does that make any sense?
It makes perfect sense in this noggin of mine. Perfect sense.
Here's one. Ashy elbows and knees. My elbows are always
Ooh, yeah, you got to lotion those.
See, I have
lotion
been.
Regimen,
I put lotion on this morning already and still.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm. Maybe you have too hot of water.
It could be. I like it a hot shower.
Me too.
Like a little lobster in there.
Wow, so many commando comments. I'm not sure that I want to take it in this direction.
That's really
a lot of people, big fans of manscaping, though.
Oh,
that's a okay. more that's like, a more recent trend.
Yep, yeah. It is. That term's pretty new, right? Manscaping is a pretty new term.
Yeah, it's keeping your situation under control, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, because I don't want to see you in your swim trunks or whatever with that.
Yeah.
I would say some short swim trunks.
Yeah.
What about Speedos? Is that a thing now?
No.
Oh, no. Boy.
That's
no.
done. See, I say that it's done. It should have been done a long time ago.
Very
Did you ever wear a Speedo?
No. Unless you're an Olympic swimmer.
Yeah. Let's take a trip to Europe to cancel Speedos for good.
Yeah, they still love them
the
there.
The four of us.
Trust me,
lead
I was just
crusade.
In Europe. They love them there.
Or the Germans down in like the Caribbean.
And it's not the in-shape guys that love them. It's the big dudes.
Oh, my. Well, you know what they say. Don't tone it. Tan it.
I
now
just
that
know.
Is the words to live by.
How about fake tans?
I am wearing one right now, honey.
I go to the tanning bed.
I get spray tan.
That's my confession.
So you do the real tanning bed, you do the fake.
I do, and I don't want to hear anybody coming for me in the text line.
Well, you can come for me, then I'm orange. I'm still going to do it.
Like, if I'm going to die, I'd rather die tan.
Ick factor, people who smell like they put on their perfume or cologne with a humidifier.
What?
Like, too much.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant literally a humidifier.
Yeah, yeah.
I got in a car recently.
I get that now.
The car reeked of women's perfume. Like,
see, you hate that, but you're fine with smokers?
Yeah.
I was a bartender for like 20 years.
So it gives you good flashbacks.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad because I probably ingested, you know, all that smoke. But
secondhand smoke.
I lived that life for 20 years.
But you like cigars, too.
I smoke cigars, too.
Oh, okay.
He's a man's man.
Yeah, because when I get in an Uber car and it smells like cigarette smoke.
I just feel like nauseous. Right,
a couple quick hitters here before we let you ladies go.
Yeah, let's go.
High tops and shorts.
High tops? Oh, like Converse?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that look.
Yeah.
Overly hairy eyebrows.
That's in.
That's it in? Is in.
Yeah.
A bushy eyebrow.
Bushy
is
eyebrows in.
Cargo pants?
No.
I sort of wear cargo pants.
Yeah. You have the G.I. Joe look on today.
Yeah, that's what we said today. He needs some Timberlands.
A good G.I. Joe look?
Yeah, good G.I.
Oh, we love Joe.
Oh, there we go.
As long as they're clean, I don't care.
All right, quickly, what did we learn today? We learned what ick is. Define it quickly, like 10 words or less.
Your instant turnoff.
Yep, instant turnoff.
Well, that's good. That was something very short.
Yeah.
Hello. Pet peeve.
I think we know what we learned about me.
Yes, Carol.
Yeah, we learned so much about Carol.
Here's Carol one for me well quickly now. As we go to break.
Okay.
Let's hear.
Yoga pants. Far too much of it. Far too much of it.
Okay.
Way too much yoga pants.
Wait, are we talking yoga pants or leggings? Two different things, Steve.
I don't know. But in my world, don't try to jam 50 pounds of potatoes in a 10-pound bag.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, God,
Anna
Steve.
And Jesse, anything but sports. We'll see you next month.
Thanks, everyone.
Carol, bye, guys.
Quick break. Working our way up to high noon before Jeff Wagner jumps in this chair and begins his extravaganza. 3 hours, noon to three on WTMJ. So we shared this story over the weekend. Things from the 90s and early 2000s that were normal, commonplace, and now are like extreme luxuries. And I've got some new, you know, some of the things that they're talking about. New furniture made out of real wood. All furniture used to be made out of real wood.
I would have a tendency to agree, yeah.
Now, but now you pay a super premium.
Right, right, right.
Crazy.
I've got end tables that were my Nana's that are solid. Solid. And I would not give them up for anything.
Here's one that has to do with communication. It used to be a reality that we weren't reachable 24/7, 365.
Yeah.
I'll get you in the morning.
Sure.
You know? Now it's always connected. Here's one. Single income families buying a home. Almost impossible.
It's very difficult. Very, very difficult. In fact, you know, what would be considered like starter homes in my neighborhood are going for, you know, $450, $500. It's like, wow.
A neighbor put a house up Friday. It sold in 1 or 2 days.
Oh, sure.
The sign's down today.
Mm-hmm.
Less than 1,900 or right around 1,900 square feet. In the 300s.
Yeah. I had a house down the street from me that didn't have a basement, and half of the house was nothing but a screen-in porch, and it went for almost 500. You know, and then this one, too, and I just had this discussion because I had to buy a new washing machine, right? My washing machine took a dump. So I said to the guy when I was buying it, I said, well, I can't argue. I've had the current one for about 20 years. So if the other one gives me another 20 years, I'll be happy. He goes, it won't. He goes, it won't. He goes, this one is maybe 7 to 10 years you'll get out of this thing. I'm like, great.
That was on the list. Five, household products that don't break within the first few years of use.
And everything in my dishwasher is plastic.
That's the problem. Plastic, really cheap construction methods.
Yeah.
The classic one is refrigerators. Raise your hands out there in Radio Land. Have refrigerators they've owned for like 30 years as their second refrigerator.
Right.
They buy the, you know, I told the story in the air. My wife wanted a brand new refrigerator for Christmas.
Right.
And I bought her one to the tune of about $3,500.
Yeah, it ain't cheap.
I'm not confident it's going to last more than 5 years.
I've already, now I can't tell you how old my refrigerator is, but I can tell you this, the drawers are brand new because they cracked and I had to go in and get new drawers for my refrigerator.
Here's another good one, and this relates to the single income families buying anything. It used to be very commonplace to
to buy a new car every 3, 4, 5 years. People are holding on to their cars for like 10 years now.
Well, because I don't want to have that. Have you seen those car payments? I don't want to see those car payments. My car is a 2016, and I got less than 50,000 miles on it.
That's low.
Really low. So anybody wants to buy it from me, give me a call.
If you have an example of a luxury or a simple thing that's now a luxury from the 90s, could be from any era, things we used to take for granted. How about low concert price, ticket prices?
I found a ticket stub the other day. It was $10.
I saw the Stones in Chicago for $25, yeah. And I had good seats.
Yeah, I don't even think you can get into like a local joint where a local band is playing for $25. That's probably the cover.
855-616-1620. The commonplace items that are now luxuries, I gave you a few of them. Good quality in clothing, fabric quality, that's gone out the window.
Yeah.
Stuff lasts like not at all.
And you know what? I used to not think twice about going out, like on the weekends, going out for dinner or going out. And now I do, because it's just like, how much is this going to set me back?
$100, $200 or more for a good fancy meal?
$100. It's got to be $100 ahead for most places.
What's your example? 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talk and text line. Used to be simple, easy things to pay for. Now they're luxuries. Give us yours after this. All right, we're going to give away those Summerfest tickets every day this week. How about this? 4 tickets.
Well, that's
just
fun.
Just weeks away.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't seem possible.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Wow.
Here we go. So let's go with caller number 7. 855-616-1620. Caller number 7 gets 4 tickets to the summer fun, including more stages and picture-perfect spaces on the lakefront. Local eats, great food. Drinks, of course, shopping, and even all-new children's area for your up-and-coming rock stars.
Yep.
And, of course, the great music, which is as good as it gets at a festival.
That's, to tell you the truth, when we were talking about concert tickets and the price of concert tickets, this is the best deal in town, a Summerfest ticket price.
And we're making it even better because the 4 tickets are free.
They're free.
Caller number 7-855-616-1620. Good luck to you. Be nice to producer Brandon. Let's go to the phone lines. Richard joins us from Illinois. Hi, Richard.
Hey.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. Happy Monday. What's your thing that used to be commonplace is now a luxury?
Well, I maybe I'm a little off topic. I'm sorry. But I agree with the appliances. They don't last like they did. But you were talking about cars. People are keeping cars longer. Carol's right. You know, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 for a car, 6-year payments, $300 a month. That's one thing. But cars actually last longer than they did 30, 40 years ago. I'm pretty old. So I remember when a car was getting to 100,000 miles and the motor wasn't going to last much longer. Now 100,000 is just like getting broke in.
Yeah.
You know, you used to have to get the points, plugs, all that crap changed every fall. And now you change the plugs once every 100,000 miles.
So now, what I would, longer, yeah, right? I would say that's true. But the qualifier is it costs a lot more to fix them when they don't, when they do break.
Oh,
them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks. Absolutely. But they last longer, not like the washer and refrigerator and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Richard. Yeah. He's right on about that.
Right.
They're made pretty well.
Yeah.
And I would argue the safety features are incredible in the new vehicles.
Yes, I would say so. The only thing with the newer cars that are out there is like, I had a 300 that I called, I named it Poindexter because it was smarter than I was. It's got all the computer chips and all that stuff, and it's just more stuff that can break down. I would argue, too, that we used to be able to call customer service and actually talk to somebody.
Yeah, that's gone away. Well, you can still do that, but the person often can't speak English or very poor English and is not residing in the country that you're calling from.
I just had this conversation with somebody because I was having such difficulty trying to understand. And I said, I apologize to you. I said, I don't know what part of the world you are in, but I'm really having trouble with your accent. And I need to speak to somebody who can maybe be a little clearer for me. To which he said, I'll send you an email, and I can't read the email either.
Yeah, often the email is in the same version of our language. This is a big one with a lot of people, and I've heard this a lot. Tickets for sporting events. For example, Jeff says, standing room, 82 World Series, Brewers Cardinals, of course, $25.
Oh, okay.
What do you think that'd be now? 100-something.
I was going to say 1,500?
Yeah. Easily. The cost. Here's another great one. I just experienced this. The cost of breakfast used to be a few bucks.
Oh, God. The one that we had on Saturday with my cousin, it was $15-16 a pop.
Yeah, because the eggs are so expensive. At least they come down a little bit. But restaurants, their costs have gone up exponentially. So that luxury, which used to be kind of a fun thing, going out, a couple buddies having breakfast, maybe it was $10 total, is now $25.
I don't even like to go to Panera and get the quarter soup because it's like $20. It's like, come on. I'll just go home and make myself my own sandwich.
Cheese sandwich.
Maybe. Maybe. Stuck on the cheese sandwich.
This one is not related to what we're talking about, but I just wanted to read it. Requested topics for Anna and Jesse. Men who take their shirts off at outdoor festivals. No, don't do that. Never, ever do that.
I saw a guy walking down the street. He passed by the house. He was out for a walk and he had his shirt hanging off from the belt.
No.
I'm like, come on, dude. Just, you mean you can't keep your shirt on just for a walk around the block?
Man buns.
Yeah, I just know. That's goofy.
How about bracelets on men?
I don't mind bracelets on men. Yeah. Depends on what it is. Hmm. You know, like Eric's got a Medlurk bracelet.
Yeah.
Because he's diabetic.
That's different.
Right, exactly.
Now, this one's a big one with me. I should have covered it with Anna and Jesse, but there was, I mean, this text line was spinning with those two. I never do this.
Okay.
Tucking in polo shirts. When did that start as a thing? You don't tuck them in. They're supposed to be over your belt.
Lou tucks everything in. Yeah. So he's not a good barometer. He feels so uncomfortable and unkempt if he doesn't
tuck
everything
in. Dress shirts. All the rest of the shirts, T-shirts and otherwise, go over your...
No, Lou tucks everything in. That's just the way he is. You know, and I don't know... You know what's interesting, too, is the whole... It's on the list is the whole driver's ed, driver's ed in school. I know a kid just the other day. He's in my neighborhood. He didn't even have to take the test.
Right. The driver's test is no longer with us.
Yeah, Dad just signed off.
You have to take the driving classes.
Right.
Some school districts still have them.
I taught my kids.
This is an interesting one I didn't think about. Paying for water.
Oh, yeah. I love tap water. I really do.
But I still drink bottled water.
I'm clogging up our oceans with those bottles. Thanks a lot.
I often reuse the bottle. That helps.
Okay. Yeah.
But if you would have told Vince Lombardi in the 1960s, you know, there's going to be a time, Vince, that in this very stadium, Lambeau Field, people are going to buy a bottle of water for like $5.56. He would say, what the hell's going on out there?
Yeah.
He said, that was me doing my Vince Lombardi.
I
hurt my throat doing that.
If I do that, I will go to the bathroom and I'll fill it back up or go to the bubbler if there's still a bubbler someplace. Oh, see, that's such Milwaukee too, bubbler.
Yeah. Are there many of those left?
There's a few here and there. I say it's unusual, okay, especially with COVID.
The bigger question is, so you're putting your face down into that bubbler? I'm not doing that.
What the hell's going on out here?
Much better version. I'm not putting my face down in a bubbler.
Well, I am.
Really?
I'll do it. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
Oh.
Also, you know, this whole cashless society, that's a whole nother thing, too. I don't want to put stuff on my credit card. Like, I don't want to go out here to the Third Avenue Market and buy 6 dinner rolls and have to put it on my credit card. Don't want to.
That's the policy.
I
paying for things in cash would be the luxury that you don't have anymore.
No.
Commonplace now it is a luxury.
Well, I'm a cash girl. I love me some cash.
Cup of coffee, ice cream cones, movie theater tickets in the 80s, so much cheaper. I mean, that doesn't change, but there's always going to be cost and inflation. It's just kind of, how about paying for air at gas stations? That used to be free.
It used to be free. And you know what? I don't want to have to, every time I turn around, I have to subscribe to something. You can subscribe. I don't want to. Can't you just let me have it for free? I have to create a page, and then I have to remember a password.
No. When I did my war on emails a few years back now, which I've maintained to this point, if you look at my phone, I have 30 emails that I got just today. I used to have 10,000. Most of that was the thing you're talking about. You sign up for anything.
Yeah.
They want your email.
Yeah.
And like all that does is generate more emails.
Yeah. I know.
I was at a casino in D.C. and I needed my email for my player's card. I was getting 10 emails a day from them. It's like, that's too much. Let's knock it off.
Yeah, and then you have to go in and you have to unsubscribe.
How about this one?
Okay.
Not having a fob for your car, just a key.
Oh, God. I'm so over that, too. Because I'll get in my car and I forget that I don't have a key fob in there. And it's just like, I got to go back in the house and try and find it.
I had to get a new one because my truck one died. I bought it online for $25 to get it programmed, $95.
Oh, that's cheap.
There's places that quoted $200.
Yeah,
that's cheap. It's a 2011 Ford F-150 pickup. I can't even imagine what a new one would cost.
Yeah, no. I think my key fobs are going like $500.
Well, you get the high-end vehicles. That's what you get. She's Carol. I'm Steve. We'll hand it off to Jeff Wagner after this on WTMJ.
Closing time.
Another great show on a Monday with Carol Kane. Shout-out Joe in Atlanta having a birthday today. Long-distance listener. Loyal listener. Always tuned into the program. So
happy birthday, Joe.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Wonder what he's doing for his birthday. What do you think he's doing?
You know what? Maybe I'll just go celebrate for Joe.
Why don't you do that?
I think that's probably a good plan.
I learned a lot about you today.
Yes, you did. More than you ever wanted to know.
Some might say too much.
I know.
All right, Carol Kane, we are done. That means Jeff Wagner is just getting started. What's on your plate for today, buddy?
I'm just kind of wondering what you found out about Carol, but that's okay. You know, go back and listen to the podcast.
Yes.
It'll all show
somebody
up.
Will
huh?
let you know.
There you go.
11 o'clock hour podcast. Check it out.
There you go. Okay. We do not go gently into the good week. We're going to spend some time in the 1 o'clock hour talking about the latest developments in the Trump prosecution, including what to me is the most amazing question of this all, which is why? I mean, seriously, why? As a former federal prosecutor, I understand why lots of people got in trouble. I mean, they committed crimes because there were crimes out of passion. There were crimes because they wanted to get money, all these different things. That this particular criminal act, assuming for the sake of argument it is, it's so darn unnecessary. So we're going to talk about that. In Milwaukee, they have cleaned out the homeless encampment that was set up around MacArthur Square. They actually have barricades and things up. But all they've really done is moved the problem. If you drive by freeway overpasses or on some of the roadways or the hillsides by the freeways, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see a bunch of tents. So we've simply moved the problem. San Diego is considering banning homeless encampments. Should we be doing that in Milwaukee? And that might be the easiest question I'm going to ask all day. We're going to talk about the fate of the Milwaukee sales tax. It will pass the state legislature, but it will need two-thirds support in the Common Council and the County Board. And both the Common Council and the County Board, they don't have close to two-thirds of the population on board now. We will discuss that. You get to the airport, and air travel is no fun. I get that. And sometimes they have rules, and you think the rules are stupid. But do you really gain anything by fighting the rules? Well, there's a celebrity who learned the hard way that you can't fight City Hall, and sometimes you can't fight the airlines. We will be discussing that. We start off the program on a lighter note, though. What if you were cleaning out your basement and found something unexpected that you didn't know what to do with? I'll tell you about it and we'll discuss. The Wagner Show starts right after the top of the hour news.